I want to talk to you today from the subject, you don't have to go through hell to get to heaven. And I want to read to you some verses from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse. And I'm going to have you repeat it after me. Come unto me.
Come unto me.
All you that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest.
And I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you.
Take my yoke upon you.
And learn of me.
And learn of me.
For I am meek.
For I am meek.
And lowly in heart.
And lowly in heart.
And you shall find rest.
And you shall find rest.
Unto your souls.
Unto your souls.
For my yoke.
For my yoke.
Is easy.
Easy.
And my burden,
and my burden
is light. We're going to read the last statement again more slowly and more deliberately, and we want you to repeat it as we do so. For my yoke is easy.
For my yoke is easy.
And my burden,
and my burden
is light.
Someone
may be wondering, Reverend Ike, why is it that you're preaching about a subject such as you don't have to go through hell to get to heaven? I'm talking about this today because growing up among religious Christian people from my childhood, I got the impression that the whole end and purpose of life are to catch hell on earth while you live so that you can go to heaven when you die. And I saw so many people going through hell trying to get to heaven. You take this business of sacrificing, for example, and self-denial. Some of us were told that if you want to live happily in heaven forever after, you have to suffer now. And that if you did not do your suffering now, why, you would not be a fit subject for heaven sometime, somewhere in the future. And believe you me, I started out on that same route of going through hell, trying to get to heaven. And one of the things that helped to awaken me was that statement from the old hymn which says, oh, what needless pains we bear. I said, my goodness. You see, sometimes I'd listen to those hymns and parts of some of them, you know, were negative. But some of them, you know, became somewhat enlightened, like that song about the old rugged cross that I'm sort of famous for reinterpreting now. My mother used to sing about the old rugged cross, you know, because we were told you must take up your cross and follow me. But you know, even Jesus fell under his cross and let somebody else carry. But I remember the rest of that song about the old rugged cross. It says, and exchange it someday for a crown. And so I decided this was the day to exchange it. But let's analyze for a moment this business of hell and heaven. First of all, I want to give you some definitions. I want to give you my definition for the word hell. Hell is a low, wretched state of mind with its corresponding conditions. Hell is a low, wretched state of mind with its corresponding conditions. For example, quite a few of us here could say that at some point or the other, we've been in a hell of a fix. And I think most people can bear witness that you don't have to die to go to hell. You don't have to die to be in a hell of a fix. There are so many different kinds of hell that people are already experiencing right here, right now. For example, I think that the lack of money is a hell of a fix. When you don't have enough money to get the things that you need and to meet your needs, I say that's a hell of a fix. And that's not after death. That's right here, right now. And I can say with the songwriter concerning the various kinds of hell of a fixes that I've been there and I'm glad I'm out. Now let's define heaven since we're talking about heaven today as well. And I want you to write this down. Heaven is a high, harmonious state of mind with its corresponding conditions. I want you to notice these definitions for a moment. That both heaven and hell are states of mind with their corresponding conditions. Hell is in your mind. Heaven is in your mind. Hell is in you and heaven is in you. And it all begins in your mind. And even the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. Here's something that may surprise some of you, but I'm going to lay it on you anyway. Heaven is not a place in the sky. Heaven is a place in your mind. Death is not the doorway to heaven. So that should stop you from wanting to die just to get to heaven. You've got to do more than die to go to heaven. The way to heaven is not through the graveyard. Here is the statement from Reverend Ike that I want you to remember, that I want you to write on paper and in your hearts. When you find the heaven in you, then you will find yourself in heaven. Not till then. I want to say it again, and I want to say it very slowly so that you can remember it. When you find the heaven in you, then you will find yourself in heaven. Not till then. I want to say it again. I want you to write it, and don't clap afterward because I want it to sink in. Because some of you have been trying to find heaven for a long time. You've been singing about it. You've been shouting about it. You've been dreaming about it. Now I want to tell you where it is and how to get there. When you find the heaven in you, then you will find yourself in heaven. Not till then. Now you see what your job is. How do we reach this high, harmonious state of mind? I want you to notice the words of the text that we just read. The words, come unto me. And who are these words from? This is your very own divine self that's calling you. When we read in the Christian scriptures about Jesus calling, it means your own divine self is calling you. The God in you, the heaven that is within you, the divinity that is within you is calling you, saying to you, come unto me. What does it mean? It means come to know that you are in God and that God is in you. Learn of me. Your divine self calls to you. What does it mean? It means come to know who you are in God and who God is in you. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You shall know the truth about yourself. And when you know the truth about yourself, you will be free to be what you want to be, to do what you want to do, and to have what you want to have. Your divine self from within you says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. In other words, when you come to really know your divinity, when you come to really know your Godship, when you come to know who and what you are in God, when you come to know who and what God is in you, then you won't have to go through hell trying to get to heaven. I can't understand why people think that there's any virtue in poverty and suffering anyway. Poverty never did me any good. And I don't know how many of you have experienced need and lack to some point or the other. But I have experienced various forms of need and various forms of lack. And they never did me any good. There's this belief in some circles that need and lack and suffering purify the soul. The hell with that. I'd rather purify my soul with green power rather than with poverty. And then a lot of you stumble over that verse from the Christian scriptures which says, you know, you ought to deny yourself. But what does it mean? It means deny your human self and confess your divine self. It means deny the idea that you are a son of a gun and confess the idea that you are the son of God. That's what that means. So poverty and suffering will not purify your soul. The only thing that will purify you is for you to realize and to recognize who you are in God and who God is in you. Now, I have here certain questions which I'm going to review for a moment. I've touched on them before. What is hell? Where is hell? And when is hell? Well, I'll tell you, hell is whenever and wherever people are in a hell of a fix. And you know you don't have to die to get in a hell of a fix. So I'll say it again. Hell is wherever and whenever you are in a hell of a fix. And believe you me, there's fire that burns in that hell of a fix, too. I know because I've been there. And I'm glad I'm out. And what gets you into these various kinds of hells? It's because for some reason or the other, you have permitted your mind to wander from the consciousness of good, from the consciousness of God. You have permitted yourself to believe in various negative ideas. For example, what keeps people in the hell of poverty? The belief in poverty itself is the thing that keeps people in poverty. And there's something you've got to watch, and I've noticed it here lately. It has almost become in vogue, in style, to talk about poor people. And the do-gooders, if you please, have sort of made it stylish to talk about poor people. And I hear some of you black people going around with your chest stuck out, calling yourselves poor people. We are poor people. Don't say we to include me. I'm through with it. I say there is no virtue in poverty. There is no honor in poverty. There is no style in poverty. Poverty doesn't have any class. And poverty is one hell that you ought to get out of. And if you want to get out of the hell of poverty, stop believing in poverty. Oh, I like the songs of David, the sweet singer of Israel. In the 23rd Psalm, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And it has always been a paradox to me how so-called Bible-believing people could believe in poverty and yet recite the 23rd Psalm. At the same time, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's say that together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And this is the kind of belief that will bring you out of the hell of poverty. This is the kind of belief that will bring you out of the hell of lack and limitation. Realizing that you have a divine law of mind within you. And when you believe in that correctly, it brings you out of the hell of poverty, lack, and limitation. And don't tell me that poverty, lack, and limitation do not constitute a hell, because they certainly do. I remember right here in New York City, while I was working my way through Bible school, sometimes after class was out, I would have to stop at the pawn shop next door and peel off my coat and pawn my coat to get car fare to get back home. That's a hell of a fix. Oh, what needless pains we bear. But you don't have to go through hell to get to heaven. Aren't you glad to know that? Another thing, some religious people even take what they call the vow of poverty. How can the people of God, how can the people who believe in the presence of God take a vow of poverty? How can God be rich sitting in heaven somewhere with his foot propped up on a stool, with his gates of pearls and his walls of jasper, and delight to see his children suffering and in poverty? I wouldn't serve a God like that, and I quit serving that kind of God. Whenever the prophets in the Bible, in both the Hebrew and the Christian scriptures, whenever the prophets looked into heaven, they always saw riches. Whenever the prophets looked into heaven, they did not see any bread lines or soup lines or welfare lines. In the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, as John the Revelator looked into heaven, he saw opulence. He saw affluence. He saw luxury. God had paved his streets with gold, made his gates out of pearls, and the walls of the city out of precious stones. God does not delight in poverty. And you see, this is what has made a lot of people poor, because they thought that somehow or the other, if they would be poor, that maybe God delights in poverty. Perhaps it would please God for them to suffer and to be poor. I wouldn't serve him like that. That's why I quit serving that one. You know, everybody does not serve the same God, you know. Some of you don't know what you're serving. If you serve a God that delights to see you in the hell of poverty, in the hell of lack and limitation, then that's a mean God you're serving. I wouldn't serve a God that gave me a roadmap that showed me that I had to go through hell to get to heaven. I'd say the hell with it. And I have to keep hammering away at these negative ideas so that people can be set free from these various hells that they're going through. As long as you believe that God delights in poverty, you are going to be in the poverty hell. You are going to be in the lack and limitation hell. As long as you believe that God delights in seeing you in these kinds of conditions. But I'm here to tell you, God does not delight in poverty. And I want you to shout that with me. God does not delight in poverty. I can't talk for the God you believe in, but I can talk for the God that I believe in. The God that I believe in does not delight in poverty. If that's the way you feel about it, say it with me. The God that I serve does not delight in poverty. The God that I serve does not require me to go through hell to get to heaven. Let's say it together. The God that I serve does not require me to go through hell to get to heaven. There are those people who also believe that God puts sickness on them. And let me say to you here again that sickness is another form of hell. And you know it. It's hell when your body's in pain. But there are those people who believe that God delights in suffering. And this is why, even in the area of faith healing, that some people do not respond. There are those people who believe that there's some old sadistic God somewhere who delights in the sickness, in the pain, and in the misery of people. And they just can't quite believe that it is God's will for them to be well. And so they pray and say, "Oh Lord, heal me, help me, if it is your will." As long as you have it in your mind that God delights in your sickness and in your suffering, you shouldn't pray to get well. You should pray for more sickness and suffering. But I'm glad that I can say the God that I serve does not delight in sickness and suffering. Can you say that with me? The God that I serve does not delight in sickness and suffering. The two kinds of hells that I've dealt with so far, you would be surprised to know how millions of people are bound in these two kinds of hells. The hell of poverty, the hell of sickness, because they believe that there's a God somewhere who delights in all of this. Now that's a pretty freakish fellow to sit up in the sky somewhere drinking milk and honey with the angels fanning him and bringing his golden slippers while his children are down here catching hell with poverty, lack, limitation, sickness, and suffering. Does your God look like that? I wouldn't serve a God like that. God does not delight in sickness and in suffering. The God in you, the presence within you, the divinity within you says, "Come to me." Come up to a higher understanding of yourself. Come to a divine understanding of yourself. And when you come to a higher, divine understanding of yourself, then you will know that my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The God in you does not ask you to do anything strange. The God in you does not ask you to be poor, does not ask you to be sick, does not ask you to suffer. The God in you asks you, "Learn of me." As the old philosopher has said, "Man, know thyself." Get a heavenly idea of yourself. And the moment you find the heaven that is within you, then you will find yourself in heaven. But you're not going to get to heaven until you find the heaven in you. And I want to boil it down just to this in a nutshell so that you can remember it. When you find the heaven within you, then you will find yourself in heaven, but not until then. Because there is a harmonious mind within you. There's a harmonious self-awareness within you. There's a heaven within you. And this is the heaven that you are to find. Because the only thing that you're going to find really in the world is what you find in yourself. The only thing that you're going to find in other people is what you find in yourself. Because here again, every time you meet somebody that gives you hell, that's you. And so now when I meet those people who for some reason or the other are somewhat disagreeable with me, I don't work on them. I straighten myself out. Come to harmony within yourself. Come to heaven within yourself. And you can so come to the awareness of heaven, the harmony within your own being, that people who are disharmonious and who don't match with you, they'll just stay away from you. Let's do some practical work on this heaven idea. We're through with hell. And say that with me. I'm through with hell. Some of you don't sound like you mean it. What's the matter? You've been there so long, you don't want to come out? Let me ask you a question here. How many of you, in some way, some time or the other, you have experienced hell right here on this earth? You have experienced some hell of a fix or another. Well, you know, if it's possible to experience hell right here, right now, I say it's possible to experience heaven right here, right now. There were many cases when Jesus wouldn't even pray for the sick until he found out if they wanted to be well. So I'd better find out from some of you, since some of you seem so reluctant. Are you people ready to be through with hell? Yeah. Some of you don't convince me. All of you who are ready to be through with hell and to get out of any kind of hell of a fix that you might have been in, just simply say, I'm through with hell. Say it with your hands and your voices and say it in a very sassy way. You know, this impresses your subconscious mind. Some of you may wonder why we go through all of these different changes. I know what I'm doing. You see, this impresses your subconscious mind. And your subconscious will remember and will know to guide you around all of these different things. That's why we don't do all of that old hell preaching around here. And that's why I stopped preaching, telling people that they were going to hell. Because while I was preaching, telling people that they were going to die and go to hell, I looked around and I saw that people were already in hell. So all of this old preaching, telling people, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. Those preachers are behind excitement. Folks are already in hell and they need a way out. And people ask me, for example, newspaper reporters say to me, well, Reverend Ike, why don't you ever preach about sin? I said, what the hell with sin? We've had enough sin. I quit with sin. I'm through with sin. I would have never known anything about sin anyway if the preachers hadn't told me about it. What do you mean going to hell? And in the middle of all that sin, hellfire and brimstone and damnation preaching, I looked and I saw, well, my God. It's no use telling these folks they're going to hell. These folks are already in hell. These people need a way out. That's when I discovered the science of living. That's when I and Jesus and Moses and Isaiah and Peter and James and John began to say, come unto me and I will give you rest. That's why Jesus said, I have come that you might have light and that you might have it more abundant. Listen, if you see a man in a hole, he's fallen into the hole already. Why the hell do you stand over there and say, you're going to hell? Look at you in that hole. Well, the man's in the hole. He doesn't need you to shout down in the hole and call him a dirty, nasty sinner. That's what all this evangelistic preaching does today. It looks down into hell that mankind is in and said, you sinner, you. God hates you. God's mad at you. You're going to hell when you die? No such a lie. People are already in hell. What do? You try to get people out. So far as sin and hell are concerned, I've had enough of both. If you want to hear about hell and sin and brimstone and damnation, go somewhere else. Don't come back here. You ought to have enough of hell. You ought to have enough of fire and brimstone and damnation. Now it's time to have life and that more abundantly. And if you notice all this preaching about sin and sinners and damnation, that hasn't saved anybody. Say, I'm through with hell. I'm through with every kind of a hell of a fix. I'm not interested in the poverty hell. interested in the hell of lack and limitation. I'm not interested in the hell of sickness. I'm not interested in the hell of sorrow. I'm not interested in any kind of hell. I am interested in heaven. Heaven is in me. God is in me. Health is in me. Happiness is within me. Success is within me. Prosperity is within me. All of this is heaven. And I accept this heaven within me. Right here. Right now. Thank you, God, in me. For this heaven within my soul. For this heaven within my mind. Thank you, Father. I'm glad to know that I don't have to go through hell to get to heaven. So now you open your heart and your mind to experience heaven. God in you wants you to be the best right here, right now. God in you wants you to have the best right here, right now. God in you wants you to do your best right here, right now. The hell with hell. If you've got enough nerve, say that with me. The hell with hell. I have discovered through the years the different negative ideas that keep people from enjoying life. And you're not going to be able to enjoy life as long as that idea is in your subconscious that somehow God does want you to suffer. And you know, some of these songs that people used to sing and call them religious songs, you ought to stop. Those songs don't belong in heaven. Those songs belong in hell. You know, like that, they used to call it a spiritual, you know. I am a poor pilgrim of sorrow. That's why before any of our choirs get up here to sing a song, we screen those songs. Some of you have had hell sung into you. You've had poverty sung into you. I am a poor pilgrim of sorrow. I have no hope of tomorrow. But I heard of a city called heaven, and I've started to make it my home. Now that's going through hell trying to get to heaven. And that song that I talk about, I guess, more than any other one, you know, that hymn, it's a Christian hymn. I don't know why they call it Christian. You know, Christ in it talks about, for such a worm as I. You see, this is how you set yourself up for these different kind of hells that you get into. Unconsciously and subconsciously. If you stand with a congregation and sing a song that calls you such a worm as I, you are setting yourself up for some hell of a fixes. A worm gets stepped on. Many times people do things to themselves and never know when or how they do things to themselves. And you are going to be in one hell of a fix or another as long as you believe in the necessity of suffering. I'll tell you a secret. Even Jesus wouldn't try it again. Some of you are suffering and struggling trying to save this world. You might as well give it up and save yourself. Because if you try to save this world, you're sure going to suffer. Because the world has only got one thing for its would-be saviors. And you know what that is. You're not going to be able to save this world or to conquer this world. So the only thing to do is just give it up and let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So as I begin to close this, so that you will have your clear-cut directions, I want to repeat. Stop looking for heaven anywhere else except within you. You won't find it anywhere else. Stop looking for God anywhere else except within you. Because you won't find God anywhere else. God is not by and by. Heaven is not by and by. The moment you find the heaven within you, you find yourself in heaven. But not till then. And not only that, when you find the heaven within you, then other people will be able to see the heaven within you. Be done with these outer gods. Be done with the God in the sky. And discover the God within you. Heaven is not somewhere else, sometime else. Heaven is within you. And within you is where you must find it. And once again, I'd like to tell you the old fable about a conference of the gods. The gods gathered to discuss, what shall we do with the divinity of man? Where can we hide it so that man will not find it? For if man finds it, he might abuse it. And so it was suggested, let us hide the divinity of man on some high mountain. Then it was decided, no, if we hide the divinity of man on some high mountain, someday man will scale the mountain and find it. It was suggested, let us hide the divinity of man beneath the sea. No, someday man will plumb the ocean's depth, find his divinity. Again, the question was asked, what shall we do with the divinity of man to hide it from him? At last it was suggested, place the divinity of man within his very own soul. And this will be the last place that he will look for. You can take that legend for what it's worth, but it's to show us a point. The last place that man looks for something is within himself. But this is the only place that you're going to find reality, within your very own being. Let's be still now for a moment. Change your position in your seats. Get comfortable. Repeat this with me. I now look within my own soul. Within my own heart. Within my own mind. And I recognize what God has put within me. I see the heaven which God has put within my own soul. I see the unlimited possibilities which God has placed within my own mind. Thank you, Father. Thank you very much. I see the riches which God has placed within my own mind. I see the happiness, the love, the peace, and the power. God has built heaven in my own soul. And I now acknowledge this heaven. This harmony, this love, this peace. Thank you, Father. Thank you very much indeed. And I suggest to you here today that everyone can reach that point where he never has another financial problem. And the reason I make that extravagant claim, you can't lose with the stuff I use, is because the stuff that I give you, I've tried it myself. I never get out of bed in the mornings without starting the conscious process of right thinking. I push myself up in bed and I start my conscious process of right thinking. And I'll tell you the truth. You shouldn't leave your room until you're right. Because you see, your subconscious mind says, behold, I send my messenger before my face who will prepare the way for me. You shouldn't go to sleep unless you're right with yourself. This is the meaning of that statement in the Jewish scriptures. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. If you go to sleep in an angry mood while you're asleep, in your subconscious mind will be connecting people to meet you the next day that will match your angry mood. You should never go to sleep with an unloving thought in your mind, because while you are asleep, those unloving thoughts will go throughout the earth and connect you with people that will do you dirt. But these will really not be other people. They will be the incarnations of your own thought. This is what people are anyway, you know. People are incarnations of your own thought. You live in a world of your own thought. Everyone else is you under the guise of others. Everyone is me under the guise of another. It'll catch up with you. Repeat this blessing with me. I think right about money.
I think right about money.
I think that money is wonderful stuff.
I think that money is wonderful stuff.
Money is beautiful stuff.
Money is beautiful.
There's nothing sinful about money. Money does not come between me and God. Money does not make me love God less. When I have money to do what I want to do, I love God even better. Let me stop you right here. Some of you are getting the benefit of this and some of you are not. This is the way we pray here, you know. This is the way we bless. If you're waiting for us to get down on our knees now to pray, that's not going to happen. If you're waiting for us to bow our heads and kneel down to pray, that won't happen. You will have missed it. Come on, let's continue our prayer. Money loves me.
Money
knows its place in my life.
We don't get mixed up.
I don't serve money.
Money serves me.
And money just loves to serve me.
Money, you're welcome.
Welcome to my hands.
Welcome to my pockets.
Welcome to my checking account.
Welcome to my savings account.
Welcome to work for me, money.
Welcome to serve me, money.
Thank God for money.
And so it is.
It cannot be otherwise.
And I rejoice because of money.
And now that you know that the God in you wants you to be happy and wants you to prosper and wants you to be healthy, and know that the God in you does not ask you to go through hell to get to heaven.
Rise, shine, give God glory.
Rise, shine, give God glory.
And now the presence and the power, the love and the joy, the strength and the happiness, the healing and the encouragement, the success and prosperity, all of the eternal, infinite good that God is, go with you, above you and beneath you, beside you, around you, behind you, within you and before you, and make smooth, beautiful, and perfect your way.